In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, we reflected on what it meant to be rich towards God. And this Sunday's text picks up almost where we left off. As we join the disciples in trying to figure out how to be rich towards God, Jesus continues to teach us what the kingdom of God is like and how different that kingdom is from anything that we might imagine. Jesus might have noticed from the looks of concern around him as his disciples tried to grasp this new and very different view of how the world should be. And he addresses this concern with certainty, that we each matter to God, so that we must stop worrying about our basic needs, because God will provide for us. If he feeds the birds and clothes the flowers in the field, God can also be dependent on to care for us, our every need of our lives, because God loves us so very, very much. But today I'd like to focus on just one verse of this passage, because I think it sums up the whole reading pretty well for me. It's the first verse, and we read, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father gives pleasure to you the kingdom. Do not fear." We hear that opening phrase, "Do not be afraid," throughout Scripture whenever we encounter God directly or through a heavenly messenger like Gabriel. This week I learned, through reading several different commentaries, that the Greek phrase, "Do not be afraid," or "fear not," really means stop being afraid. And that nuance kind of changed my interpretation of the scripture. We aren't talking about hypothetical fear that might occur, something down the road. It isn't even a warning about becoming afraid. We are talking about real fear that is already present, fear that has been with us for some time, fear that won't let us go. And Jesus says, just stop it. Stop being afraid. We live in a world that sometimes seems runs on fear. We fear what we can't see. We fear what we don't know. Our imaginations so treats our community and our nation. It attacks us on every side. As individuals, we fear losing control of our lives. We fear making ourselves vulnerable to someone else. We fear getting hurt. We fear what others might think of us. We fear shame and embarrassment. We may even try to escape our fears by ignoring it, by building up elaborate fantasies that hide it from us. And we may even try to escape our fears through self-medication in various forms. Maybe we overeat. Maybe we accumulate comfort to the outside to offset our fears, buying things we don't really need in the hopes that they will provide some kind of security. None of these things will take away our fear. Ironically, I was telling Hillary earlier that I actually preached 3 years ago on this same text. And I read that sermon this morning, and I was saddened to think about the state of our affairs. Not much has changed. How can we live in a world such as this? And after a bit of self-pity, I realized that our society take our real fears and amplify them for the needs of a few. A certain politician once said, "Never let a good tragedy go to waste." Yet Jesus says, stop being afraid. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. In fact, it gives God pleasure to give you what you need. Scripture says, your Father's good pleasure. In ancient Roman days, gifts were given to create a sense of obligation, pretty much banking away something for repayment. It was a way people climbed the social ladder, making sure that others were in their debt and that they owed them a favor. But in the kingdom economy, God lavishingly gives away the entire kingdom to us. And when we, in turn, give without expecting anything in return, we participate in that kingdom and we receive even more from God. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more generosity, more faithfulness, more self-control, more and more and more treasures. The treasure is the kingdom of God, which He has already decided that it is His pleasure to give you. Now, what stands at the center of this good news is not the fear of shame, but God's amazingly tender concern for us all, for His own little flock. This is an invitation to trust that our future rests in the promise and the presence of God. The gospel invites us to put first things first. Gospel says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What gifts or talents do you possess that can be put to use to benefit the kingdom of God? What do you think gives God pleasure? Could it be to live in the kingdom that we've been given? The kingdom of God is not just eternal life in the future. The kingdom of God, God's active and current reign over heaven, has already begun in Jesus' ministry and continues and is present now, and it is here now. God has already given us the kingdom. We respond by living our lives, carrying out the values and the standards of that kingdom, which include getting rid of possessions, giving to the poor, making purses that contain ultimate, unexhaustible, heavenly treasures, instead of getting rich by accumulating human treasures. Our hearts are set on what God ultimately treasures, which is compassion and mercy for those in need. Since God, in His own pleasure, has already given us this kingdom, we are called to be prepared for when the Christ comes. While Jesus is certainly talking about the end times, when He will come again in glory to reign over the new heaven and the new earth, we should not be distracted from the attempts to pinpoint that day and that hour, when that will happen. We also shouldn't be lulled into passively chatting on Facebook or playing on our phones while we wait for Jesus to return. Luke offers the certainty that Christ will come again, and the uncertainty of when that will be. This certain uncertainty reminds us that instead of passively waiting or living wildly before those last days, we need to be faithful and alert. Being ready for Jesus' coming is less about actually the time and place, but more about recognizing Jesus' activity in the world. And when we least expect that. Fearlessly claiming Your identity as a child of God allows you to be intimately participating in that kingdom. What matters is this. Christ calls you to let go of your fear, to accept the gift of the kingdom of God, which it is your Father's good pleasure to give us. Will you receive it? Will you accept this precious gift? Let us all drop our guard and let go of our concerns about what other people might think and simply receive the assurance that we are God's own beloved children, redeemed through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Have no fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I would like to close with one of my favorite prayers. Do not fear what will happen tomorrow. The same understanding Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all your anxious thoughts and imaginations. Stop being afraid. Amen.